Welcome, lovely listeners, to the Stories, Fables, Ghostly Tales podcast, your one stop for the strange, creepy, and definitely unique stories. Today is a continuation of Carl Brandt's story, Act 2, of Michi's Journey Part 4. Carl has also included author notes at the end that I'll go through, which I absolutely love reading. They always provide unique insights into the author's perspective and thoughts on their subject, as we learn more about the yokai he writes about, and what makes those yokai so interesting. So, turn the lights off, the sound up, grab your hot beverage, and prepare for a story that's an original. Michi picked up the onusa, with strips of paper folded to create a zigzag pattern, and waved it over the possessed from left to right while chanting a mantra. The young woman began convulsing and foaming at her mouth. She screamed and she grabbed the rod and yanked it from Michi's hand, tossing it to the side.
Quit it, monk!
Her voice overlapped of two female voices and a male voice. Michi remained poised as he inquired,
Why do you possess this girl's spirit?
Because her father and these villagers killed me.
She snapped, as the girl's face scrunched into a scowl.
That one there watched my husband kill me.
She was pointing at a woman in the crowd.
And he watched as well.
Her finger swept over to point out a man in his late 30s.
So did he.
She pointed to another man. Then she turned her finger on her body.
And this land belongs to me. Her father overburdened me with beans and pushed me into the river. He held me under as I struggled and fought to get air. They just watched. Not one stepped in to stop him. They let me die because I was hideous.
Flames shot out of her back at that declaration. Michi maintained his composure as everyone stepped back. He poured a cup of green tea for himself and one for the possessed. What is your name?
Rui, but the villagers called me Kasane.
She was cold and sharp with her answer, as if she was spitting poison and staring at the villagers she had already pointed out.
What good will getting revenge do?
He asked, as philosophically as he could. Kasane replied with something different.
I don't want revenge. I want to have a memorial service and stone Buddha erected in my honor. Then, I shall leave and no one will hear from me again.
The whole village started balking.
We can't afford that.
One yelled from the back. This just seemed to anger the spirit more.
Then sell the lands that had been ill-gotten. They were my father's anyway. Use the money and do as I command.
The young man that brought out the vessel stepped to her side and spoke.
We cannot do that. They have already been sold off years ago.
The spirit screamed. Flames burst from her back and Michi reacted by dropping his tea and grabbing the young man, tackling him to the ground so he wouldn't be caught in the flames. As a result, some flames caught on his robe and burned his back a bit. Michi patted the fires out and ignored the pain, returning to his seat once again. Kasane began naming people's ancestors.
They are all in hell with me,
she exclaimed as the crowd recoiled in fear.
I was the cause of all my husband's wife's deaths. I cursed him for killing me and my curse to you.
She pointed at the three she pointed out earlier.
I will not place a curse on you. Instead, I'm going to air out all your sins.
She cackled as she pointed to the first male.
You don't just raise the animals, you lay with them as well.
The whole town gasped as they stared at the man who hung his head in shame and embarrassment. Her finger flew over to the older woman.
You steal from the market every day for the last 30 years.
The woman's head hung low as she knew the village would shun her for it. And then, the next victim she pointed to. She said,
And you are the most vile of them all. You killed your first wife.
The whole town gasped in shock,
But Kastane wasn't done. She pointed to the leader of the village.
You steal money from the village coffer.
She swung her finger to another woman.
You cheated on your husband last year.
One by one, she told the sins of the villagers. Finally, when everyone was shamed and embarrassed, someone spoke out.
Who are you to accuse us? We didn't have anything to do with your murder, or even witnessed it.
Kastane's face twisted with rage.
I may have been ugly, but you never questioned my death. You never looked into it. So you were just as guilty as the ones who witnessed my murder.
Finally, Michi had had enough, and began his mantra to banish the spirit. But after 10 minutes of prayer and mantras, the spirit still inhabited the body. Michi could feel he had weakened it a bit, but he needed the host. What's the girl's name? A villager responded with, Kiku. Michi grabbed the Onusa and tapped the girl's shoulder with it.
Kiku, I can't do this alone. I need you to pray and say the mantra with me.
For a minute, the girl's eyes changed, and she nodded as they both began the mantra as Michi waved the Onusa over her. By the end of the first line, Kastane had taken over, interrupting the mantra.
Don't even try, monk. It won't work. You aren't strong enough, and you're not even pure yourself.
This sent Michi over the edge, and he grabbed Kastane's hair and forced her head to the ground with enough force to hear a resounding thud.
Now, Kiku, say the mantra with me.
As he began again, this time there were no interruptions, and the spirit seemed to slink off to the afterlife. Michi stood up as the villagers cheered, but he was still pissed and turned to them, yelling,
I hope you're all ashamed of what has happened here. Because of you, this poor girl has endured the most horrific thing you could ever come across.
His words were harsh and cruel.
Learn a lesson. It doesn't matter who someone is. They can always become a spirit and possess anyone they like. You are all disgusting. You treated someone so bad, they killed not one, not two, but 6 people. And when you didn't recognize it, you let her possess a child.
He breathed heavily from his rant, partially from anger. Kiku's voice spoke up behind him, but it was still odd, as it sounded like 2 voices instead of 3, one male and one female.
This isn't over, monk.
Michi sighed heavily.
Who might you be?
His patience wearing thin with this farce.
I'm Atsuke,
he said with a confident voice. Michi turned to the crowd.
Does anyone know who Suke is?
Most of the village shook their head or shrugged their shoulders before an elderly man stepped forward.
I believe that's Kiku's father's first wife. They had a son named Suke, but he drowned 60-something years ago.
Suke burst into anger.
Rui was nicknamed by the town as Kastane because she resembled me. I had attached to her. When she died the same way I did, I was still with her. And when you just exorcised her, you left me behind.
The spirit stared at the older members of the village. My father killed me because I was too ugly as well and tired of looking at me, so he pushed me into the river one night, knowing I couldn't swim. Michi at this point wasn't surprised. He was just more appalled at this village's vanity.
He commanded, "Everyone down on your knees and pray right now."
The villagers one by one got down on their knees and bowed as far as they could, and Michi did as well. They combined the power of all their prayers, lifting the spirit of Suke from Kiku's body. Michi stood up after the ritual and went to the family's altar, where he placed Suke's name upon it, and lit some incense.
May you all find peace in the afterlife.
Michi stayed the night in the village, against his better judgment. His next destination was Mount Kurama. With that, I was snapped back to my timeline with an increasing headache. as well as a feeling of someone staring at me. I looked around the temple only to see what looked like an old book cart. I began approaching it when I saw a figure behind it and thought, great, someone is here trying to spook me. I approached the cart, when out popped something human-like, but not quite. It had greyish-white skin, yellow eyes, black and yellow sharp teeth, and claw-like nails that were black as night.
I see you have found the book of all books,
it said in an impish voice.
That there is the most sought-after book in all the land, this one and the other.
The creature moved away.
I'd be careful, as that book spawns other monsters, including me.
With that warning, it slinked back to the darkness and disappeared with the cart. I couldn't shake these warnings as I looked up what kind of monster that could be, and my answer was probably Fugurama Yohi, a book cart yokai. And that concludes the final act of part 4 for Michi's journey. Your brilliant author is Kyle Brandt. Don't rush away just yet. I have some awesome author notes to go over. So let's jump in. Objects. Kunai, a Japanese tool originally meant for farming. Although a basic tool, in the hand of a martial arts expert, the kunai could be used as a multifunctional weapon, popular before the widespread of firearms. The kunai was conventionally wrought in lengths ranging from 20 centimeters to 30 centimeters. It was used by peasants as a multipurpose gardening tool and by workers of stone and masonry. The kunai is akin to a crowbar. The blade is made of soft iron and is left unsharpened because the edges are used to smash relatively soft materials such as plaster and wood for digging holes and for prying. Normally only the tip is sharpened. Kunai normally had a leaf-shaped blade and a handle with a ring on the pommel for attaching a rope. The attached rope allows the kunai's handle to be wrapped to function as a grip, or to be strapped to a stick as a makeshift spear, or even tied to the body for concealment, to be used as an anchor or piton, sometimes even to be used as the Chinese rope dart. Contrary to popular belief, kunai were not designed to be used primarily as throwing weapons. Instead, kunai were primarily tools and, when used as weapons, were stabbing and thrusting implements. Sai, a traditional piercing melee weapon used in Okinawa. The basic form of the weapon is that of a pointed prong-shaped metal baton with two curved prongs, yoku, projecting from the handle, tsuka. And lastly of the objects is Onusa, a wooden wand used in Shinto rituals. It is decorated with many shide, which are zigzagging paper streamers. Now it's time for monster notes. Kasane, a girl's name meaning to pile up, to overlap, and to add on. An alternate reading of the kanji for her original name. Rui Kasane is the ghost from Kasane Gafuchi, the pool of Kasane. It is based on true events which happened in the 17th century in what is now Ibaraki Prefecture, although the story has changed quite a bit from the original incident. Her tale is one of the most famous Edo period ghost stories, and she is often held up with Aiwa and Okiku as a prime example of the grudge-bearing Japanese woman ghost. I reworked this to fit it in to an earlier era, as my story takes place in the 11th to 12th centuries. The story I gave was pretty much a summarized version. Fugurami Yohi is a spirit which resembles an ogreish human woman in tattered clothing. She is a kind of Tsukugami, an artifact spirit, which manifests out of old-fashioned book carts called Fugurami. In particular, it is the emotion and attachment built up in the piles of love letters stored in these carts, which gives birth to this yokai. Her name is a pun, based on essay 72 from the medieval essay collection Surezur Gusa. The essay discusses the folly of overabundance. Having too many possessions is a bad thing which distracts you from that which is important. However, there is no such thing as having too many books on your book cart. The Fugurami Yohi is what Toriyama Sekin imagined might appear if you actually did have too many books on your book cart.
The desire and attachment written in each single love letter may not amount to very much, but if there are enough letters, enough attachments may pile up that a yokai can be born from them. And this concludes Carl Brandt's author's notes, and I always love them. Thanks, Carl, for adding these in. They're just awesome. Well, what do you think, folks? I really, really enjoyed this one. There's action, possession, depraved villagers, awful decisions, and the reminder of the dangers that the book brings with it when being read. I have to say, I was impressed with the different take on possession. I mean, it's always been a thought that multiple spirits could inhabit a body, but Kyle is the first author in a very long time for me, or that I've come across, to take on the challenge. Very well done, mate. You aced it. Now, stay tuned, you awesome listeners, for tomorrow's episode. Now, I'm not stopping here. Tomorrow is Michi's Journey Part 5, and that one is a big fella. Whew! Lots of juicy content in there. A little snippet, though. Romance might be in the air. Kyle, have I given too much away, mate? No, I assure you, there is so much to cover in the upcoming story, so stick with me. And lastly, if you have half a minute to spare for me, an iTunes review would be fantastic. You can actually single-handedly make a difference with your review. The easiest way to do this is click the iTunes link in my description, then click on my podcast logo, bam, that's how you leave the review. You're helping me, of course, but more importantly, the authors on here get even more exposure. So a huge thank you for doing that. And on that note, it's that time. This is the place where stories live, and you telltellers come to listen. Enjoy your day or night, and join me every weekday for our creepy tradition. And as always, till next time.